I would like you to turn, please, to the book of Proverbs and to the chapter 29. And whilst you're turning up, I'd like to thank the Reverend Stuart for inviting me to come along here tonight. I just was thinking the last time that I shared a pulpit with him, I think it was his 27th birthday, and that was in 2006. So we all know what age he is. Proverbs 29 and the verse 1. And to me, this is one of the greatest verses in the scriptures, because this is the verse that the Lord used to speak to my sinful soul. It's a very solemn verse of scripture. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, I would ask you to listen very carefully to this verse of scripture. And the Word of God says, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. I'd like to bow for a word of prayer. And if you're here tonight and you're saved, I ask of you that you would pray for me. And if you're not saved here tonight, pray that the Lord will speak to you, that the Lord will take his word and work in your heart. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you once again for this privilege and this opportunity that we can come into the very presence of deity. We thank thee for the Lamb of God, who is our Savior, and for his work upon this earth, and for the blood that he shed on Calvary's cross. We thank thee, Father, tonight that Jesus Christ is no longer on the cross, neither is he in the tomb, but he is risen from the dead, and he ever liveth to make intercession for us. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that the angel said unto Joseph, "And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin." And I ask thee tonight, Lord, if there's some poor soul in this meeting and they're not saved, grant it, Lord, that this would be the night when you would save their precious souls. If there's another soul, Lord, and they're backslidden, I ask of thee tonight, Father, this would be the night whenever they would see afresh the love of God, and that they would come with repentance and come into that place of fellowship once again with the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, you know my need. My need is great. But I hand myself to thee, Father. And I pray for that very special anointing of the Holy Ghost. Help me this night to exalt the Lamb of God. For it's in his name I pray. Amen. Well, I was born and reared in Moneymore. I thank God I was born into a good home. And in that home, my mother was a saved woman, but my dad wasn't. I was sent along each week to Sunday school and to church, Moneymore Presbyterian. But looking back over my youth, I can't remember the first time that I heard those gracious words, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." But I knew from an early age that I needed to be saved. I remember my mother used to ask me to go along to gospel meetings. But you know, I hated going because I knew that at the end of a gospel meeting, there would be an appeal given. And of course, I went out of many gospel meetings and I rejected the Lord Jesus Christ and trampled the precious blood of the Lamb underneath my feet, to my shame. I remember at the age of 19 going to a gospel meeting that was held up the Cookstown dual carriageway. And I can remember as I sat there that night that the Spirit of God was convicting me of sin. But you know, I was afraid of what my friends would think. And once again, instead of receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I rejected the Son of God. You know, I was thinking about that particular night I left a gospel meeting and I went to stagnate. You know, it's only by the mercy of God that I wasn't consumed. And if you're here tonight, my friend, and you're not saved, it's only by the mercy of God that we're not consumed. And out of that meeting, rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember one night, as a young man, I had a dream. You know, as I stand here tonight, I'm not a charismatic. We all have had our dreams. This was simply a dream. But I had a dream this particular night that the world had ended. And I can remember in my dream that I seen all this fire billowing up towards heaven. And in my dream, I knew that I was lost. And I can remember in my dream, I was crying out, Lord, give me another chance. Lord, give me another chance. Lord, give me another chance. But in my dream, my friends, there was no other chances. And I was crying. And I woke up crying. And you may think to yourself, well, surely you would get out of bed and call upon the Lord for mercy, but no, I hardened my heart. And let me say this, my friend, there are multitudes this very day, and it has not been a dream for them, because death has come, and hell is a reality to them. And if you're here tonight, my friend, and if you're not saved, it is very possible that you could die. And it would not be a dream for you, it would be reality. And you'd be saying, why did I not get saved? Why did I not turn from my sin and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? I remember at the age of 22, I went out to Bermuda to do some work. What a beautiful place it is. And I remember I left my friends and I was there about 3 weeks. And the news came across that a young lad was killed in a car crash. And the fellow told me who it was, and I said it couldn't be him because when I left, he was one of my best friends. He didn't have a car. But it turned out it was him. And what had happened was he was going home this particular night, and I can see the corner clear, and there's a big beech tree there. It's about 5 foot in diameter. And instead of getting around the corner, he went straight into it, and the car went upside down. And he was killed stone dead. And my uncle found him the next morning, lying in the car, 19 years of age, and he was dead. And the news came across to us in Bermuda. And I remember there was a fellow there, he was a sea of man. And he used to witness to me when I was out there. And he set me down and he says, you know, Desi, I'm not going to judge that young man because God is the judge. But he says, I'm going to tell you something, and he says, you'll never forget it. And he was definitely right. I haven't forgotten it yet. He says, you know, Des, if that young man wasn't saved, he's in hell tonight. And he says, if he's in hell tonight, he'll hear your footsteps coming closer every day. And I remember thinking to myself, I smirked, tried to laugh it off. But I can tell you this, I was convicted. That he would hear my steps coming closer to hell every day. That was a solemn statement. But the Lord used it. I remember at the beginning of the year 1992, a good friend of mine, we were sitting chatting. We were going to stop the drinking, we were going to stop the cursing, we were going to stop the dancing. And then we began to say, wouldn't it be great to be a Christian? And looking back, I didn't know then, but I know now that God was working upon our hearts. We were under conviction of sin. And I remember going in home that night and I looked up in the local newspaper, the Mid-Ulster Mail. I was looking through it to see if there's a gospel mission on that I could go to and hear words whereby I could be saved. But of course I didn't see any. And I carried on living my life just as usual. Until about 3 months I went out to see my friend again. And as we're driving up the road, I says to him, Ian, I says, what are you doing yourself this weather? He says, you know, Des, I've got saved. And you know, the Spirit of God took the word saved and pierced my heart. You see, he was a young man who never went to church. In fact, he told me that the last time that he'd went to church, some man had put water in his head and he says, you're all right now, son, your sins are all forgiven. And even as a young lad, I knew fine rightly the man was telling lies and he never went back. But you see, for me, I went every week. I never missed. Drunk or sober, I was there. In fact, I used to say prayers almost every night. I used to read the Bible. I have said this many a time. In my unsaved day, I read the Bible more often and more scrupulously than many a person would read it now who would profess the name of Jesus Christ. And here he was, and he was telling me that he was saved. You know, I was thinking about this when we go around the doors. I have seen us in the doorstep, and you hand someone a gospel tract, and you seek to speak to them about Jesus Christ, and you would maybe say to them, well, are you saved? Many's a man has said to me, I hate the word saved. And I would always say, well, I love the word saved. Because that's the word, the very word the Lord used. You see, this man didn't know a pile of theology, but the Spirit of God took the word saved and began to work on my heart. And then before I left him home, he says, you know, Des, he says there was two young men in the army. Two young soldiers came under conviction of sin. And one of them got saved and the other said he'd put it off for a while. And the lad who said he'd put it off for a while, he was shot dead. And I remember going home that night and I was convicted. Because I worked for Jim Henry and it was a possibility you could be shot. And I began to think that I could be shot. And I began to think that I could be killed in a car crash because I thought I could drive. And well, I didn't. I couldn't really drive because I wrecked more cars than money's a man ever owned. And there was that possibility of being killed. And I was afraid. I remember about this time of the year in 1992, there was a mission on in Moneymore. And I had asked Christians, would they go with me to this mission? But they hadn't time. So I went along myself. And I remember sitting in that mission for 2 nights. But the Lord didn't speak to me. And I began to think to myself that I was so sinful that I could not be saved. And so I went deeper and deeper into the things of this world and into sin. Until November of the year 1992. And I went out to see my friend again. And as we sat and chatted, we began then to talk about the things of God. And I remember before I left that night, I says, Ian, I would love to be saved. I would love to be saved. Imagine an unsaved person saying such a thing. I would love to be saved. Will you pray for me? You know, the strange thing about it was he didn't say, well, come to church tomorrow. He says, leave it to next week. And I can remember, for me, that was the longest week of my life. Because I was so afraid that something would happen to me and I wouldn't be saved. I remember going home that night, and as I said, I used to read the scriptures, and I was quite familiar with them. And I got down on the side of the couch, and I says, Lord, it says in your word, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. But let me say this, at 26 years of age, I did not know how to be saved. I had heard preachers say, you've got to get right with God. And that's true. I had heard men say, you've got to come to Christ, and that's true. But I had heard very little about repentance. I remember throughout that week I was reading the scriptures, and it came to the Sunday, the day that Ian had asked me to come to the house of God. It was the 15th of November, 1992. And I remember going out that night to the house of God. And the first thing that struck me was this, was the singing. The singing. And I'm glad there's good singing here tonight. The next thing that struck my mind as an unsaved man was how the man opened in prayer. I heard a man who was calling upon God to come to the meeting and to save souls who were lost in their sin. And then he began to preach, and his text of scripture was Proverbs 29 in the verse 1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed. And that without remedy. And as our brother McRae preached the word of God, thank God the Spirit of God began to convict me again of my sin. He that being often reproved. And he spoke about how that God reproves young men and older men and young women and older women. How that he reproves them through maybe a godly testimony. Maybe through a loved one who would testify or speak to you about the things of God. And remember he said, maybe while you're out wrecking around the countryside, there's a godly mother at home and she's crying unto God for your soul. And I knew that to be true. You know, he made the message very personal. He says, young lad, God forbid, he says, but God forbid that you would die and go to hell. But he says, if you do, your mother's prayers will haunt your soul throughout eternity in the caverns of the damned and hell itself. That was heart-wrenching to me. Maybe there's someone here tonight and you know fine well that your mother or your father prays for you. The truth goes out to you tonight, my friend. God forbid that you would die and go to hell. But if you do, the prayers of a godly mother, the prayers of a godly father will haunt your soul throughout eternity. And then he preached about the Lord Jesus Christ who went to the cross. And the love of God and the mercy of God that Jesus Christ would die on a cross for hell-deserving sinners just like you and just like me. And as I sat in that meeting that night, I praise God I came under serious conviction of sin. The Lord was speaking to me. And I remember sitting there that night and at the end of the meeting they gave the gospel appeal. And they sang the wee hymn, Just As I Am Without One Plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come to thee. And I remember as they began to sing the wee gospel invitation, there was a battle began in my mind. You see, the Lord was convicting me of my sin, and I knew that I needed to be saved, but the devil was lying to me. And let me say this, my friend, there was a cost being weighed up in my mind. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, let me say this, there's a cost. There's a cost to salvation. Now, thank God salvation doesn't cost you anything because Christ has paid the debt with his precious blood. But there's a cost, and sin has got to be turned from. You know, we live in a wee land, and many have this idea that they're saved, but they live as they like. That's not salvation. And I remember with my head bowed there that night, you see, I was greatly deluded. Because at 26 years of age, I had this notion that to be a Christian was, you know the way you see some of these boys on television over maybe in another country? Just watch what I say here. But you see them and they've got the big purple gown on them. And they're singing and their mouths are like going on there. And the things they're singing, they're so dead. It's dead orthodoxy. That's what it is. That's what I thought a Christian was. And I remember sitting with my head bowed that night and the devil was saying to me, what about the drink? See, you couldn't give up the drink. You couldn't give up the cursing. What about the dancing? What about your friends? Should they laugh at you? And the Spirit of God was convicting me of my sin. And then the next thing, the wee hymn of invitation was over the first verse. And I remember sitting there that night and I thought to myself, am I going to walk out here tonight again, rejecting Jesus Christ? And then the next thing, Mr. McRae says, we'll sing another verse. And as they began to sing the verse again, this battle started raging in my mind again. And I remember saying to myself, if I have to sit in the house every night until death comes, I'm willing because I want to be saved. And I raised my hand. By raising my hand didn't save me. It just showed the minister that I wanted to be counseled in the things of God. I remember going out into an inquiry room. And an elder showed me from God's word, wonderful verses of scripture. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Showed me wonderful verses of scripture such as, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then he says, do you want to pray or do you want to pray after me? You know, I've already said I used to pray every night. I never prayed before. I used to say prayers. But this night was different. And he began to pray, and I prayed after him. And these are the words that I said, just in case there's someone in here tonight and you're not saved. Maybe you're wondering, how can I be saved? And I believe it's very important to tell men and women how you can be saved. And I was under conviction of sin, and these are the words that I prayed from my heart. Lord Jesus, I confess that I am a sinner. But I believe that you died for sinners, therefore you died for me. I ask you into my heart to be my Savior. Wash away all my sin in your precious blood. Make me a good Christian. Amen. And God heard and God answered prayer. I went into that meeting a sinner, deserving of hell, on my road to hell. And in a moment of time, I was brought from darkness into light. And I was made one of the sons of God by virtue of the precious blood of Christ. That is some blessing. I was exhorted to make sure and pray. And I was exhorted to read the scriptures. And I was exhorted to tell men and women that I had got saved. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth, excuse me, the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I'd left my friend home to his house, and I went into the town in Moneymore, and it used to be we would gather there, and there's one of my friends was there, and I pulled up beside him. And of course I had the suit on. Excuse me. He says, where are we at tonight? You're all dressed up. I says, well, I was out of church. And I says, I got saved. He says, that's great. Do you think we'll ever stick it? And there I was, a young saved man. About 20 minutes later, and the devil was attacking my mind. You will never stick it. And I remember going up home, and my mother was there, and my father was there. And my mother was making tea. And she came into the living room. And she says, well, how did you get on? She was expecting to hear that I got saved, you see. I says, I got on all right. She went back out into the kitchen. She came back in again. And I says, I got saved. I have no idea the weight was lifted off that woman's shoulders. But I know for a fact that was some blessing for her to hear. But I was discouraged. And I took the tea and I went down the room and I listened to what the man had told me. I began to read the scriptures. He says, read the book of John. It's good for young believers. Well, the book of John's good for older believers as well. And I began to read in the book of John. And when I came to the verse 12, the Lord spoke to me by his Spirit. But as many as received him, and I had received Christ, to them give he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe in his name. And the Lord gave me assurance that night as a young child of God. And the Lord was saying that he would do the keeping. And I needed to come and pray continually. Pray to the Lord and read his precious word. And you know, the Lord gave me a desire to tell others about their need of Jesus Christ. 2 years later, need to get this right now. 2 years later, Joy and I got married. And I thank God for my wife. You know, every man ought to thank God for their wife. You know what the Bible says? Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And I was married in 1994. 2 years later, I was diagnosed with kidney failure. Kidney failure is a very serious disease. It's a critical disease. And you know, I remember as a young Christian, I would come before the Lord and say, Lord, I want my life on the altar. And that's how we as Christians ought to pray, Lord, here is my life. Take my life and use my life to the glory of your name. But you know, in my mind, I had this idea that I would go to the college and I would become a preacher. That was the desire of my heart. But you know, I entered into a different college, and that was the College of Ill Health. And for me, God's will for me was that I would bear a sickness, bear an illness, and seek to glorify the Lord there. And I had kidney failure, and I still have kidney failure when being treated by a transplant. But kidney failure is a very, very serious disease. It's like any of these things. Critical illness is definitely not easy handled. But you know, the Lord taught me many lessons. Times of great despair, times of great loneliness and the presence of the Lord drawing near. I can't really explain. I remember one day that was the darkest day of my life. And I remember getting down to pray before the Lord. Didn't know what to do or what to say. Or where to turn. And I remember the presence of God. I can't explain it. When the Lord drew so near. And I remember saying, Lord, I wouldn't care if I was in the darkest hole in Africa. If I have your presence, that's all that matters. And let me say this tonight, dear believer. The grace of God is sufficient, presently sufficient, for every need. Not a doubt about it. I remember one night, it was the 11th of November, 2002. We were lying in bed and the phone went at 3:30 in the morning. And Joy answered the phone. And she handed the phone to me. She says, the kidney coordinator. And what had happened was that the kidney people had rang up and says, hello, Desi. We would like to offer you a kidney. You see, I thought to myself, they'll come and say, quick, 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 there's a kidney for you here. Come down quick. But no, I'd like to offer you a kidney. And I says, that's fine. Yes, I'll be down to the hospital, in the city hospital in Belfast. And we rushed our way. We went down flat out, drove over islands and everything. And landed down in the Belfast city hospital. And after a long time, we weren't sure it was suited to me or not, but it turned out it was suited for me. And I thank God that I received a kidney. But you know, in order for me to receive a kidney, another man had to die. And that's not easy handled. Some family was grieving over the loss of a loved one. But I was rejoicing that I got a kidney. And I thank God on the 11th of November 2002, I got a kidney. And I got another chance at life. And I pray the Lord will give me the ability to glorify his name every day I get. You know, my friends, there's none of us are promised tomorrow. But I got a kidney, and it's working quite well yet. And that's 13 years. I thank the Lord for my health. Many times we're down, but you know, we can get out of bed in the morning. And we can wash our face, and we can kneel down before God, and the privilege and the honor of standing here to glorify the Lord is a wonderful blessing. But you remember, you're here tonight and you're not saved. And we offer to you through the gospel the gift of eternal life. But you've got to receive it. You've got to humble yourself and repent of your sin and receive the gift of eternal life offered in the cross work of Christ. You know, I was talking to a young man today in Macrofelt in the open air. A young man really mixed up with religion. And he was a young Roman Catholic and he had given up on it. But you know, he was confused. And I says to him, I says, you know, it's not religion you need. Salvation is not found in a religion. It's not found in a creed or a class. But it's found in a person. And I want you to understand here tonight that salvation is found in a person. And it's a matter of repenting of your sin and resting your soul upon the sufficiency of the cross work of Christ. It's not your works plus Christ, and it's not Christ plus your works. It's Christ and Christ alone. That's salvation. I do thank God that the Lord has called me into the open air work as well. And I see the time's going on quite speedily here. But I'll close with this. The Lord called me into the open air work. And I'm glad to hear that this congregation has got a work that goes out into the highways and into the byways to reach the lost. May the Lord continue to stir your hearts and may the team grow. I believe it to be a great privilege to stand around the villages amongst our kith and amongst our kin and just to simply declare the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe with all my heart that the Lord will use the open air work. And if you're involved in it, you ought to get on your knees and thank the Lord that you're there and the Lord has called you to it. What a privilege. What a privilege. I thank God for the privilege of standing in the open air. It's not easy. It's totally different standing here, you see. See, I'm more used to boys tooting horns and shouting and roaring and cursing at us and clawing at us and all these things. I'm not used to people sitting and listening like this, you see. But I thank God for the open air. But you know, whenever I began To speak there tonight, I said that my mother was saved. And you know, as a Christian, we have many high times and we have many low times, but I want to close with this. One of the greatest privileges and blessings of my life is this. My father wasn't saved. And I can tell you this, whenever the Lord gives you a burden, it's a burden. I have just learned that lately because the burden has lifted because my father now is saved. But I had a burden for my dad. And a burden will drive you to prayer. And a burden will keep you out of bed. And a burden will raise you up in the morning. And a burden will cause you to cry with great tears and fervency and passion unto God. And I had a burden for my dad. Many times I witnessed to him, no interest. Sometimes he had an interest. The Lord gave opportunities. I spoke to him about hell. I spoke to him about eternity. Many different things. And it seemed to be that he had no interest. Many times I had given up hope. But I thank God on the 24th of November last year that my wife and myself had the greatest privilege and opportunity of leading my daddy to Jesus Christ. And if you're here tonight, maybe it's a son, maybe it's a daughter, maybe it's your dad or your brother or your sister, someone that you love, don't stop praying for them. Maybe it's someone who's backslidden, don't stop praying for them, because God can take his word in his time and deal with their hearts and bring them to that place of fellowship with Jesus Christ once again. You know, as I stand here tonight, you may say to me, Dazzy, what would you say is the greatest privilege as a Christian? I wonder if I was to ask you that question tonight, dear Christian, what do you believe is the greatest privilege this side of heaven? Well, I thank God that I can say this by the grace of God. For me, the greatest privilege is this, that this old wretch, as our brother spoke about the scriptures, a beggar from the dunghill, can come into the very presence of deity. Just as Moses came to the burning bush, I can come before the same God who walked with Adam in the garden. And by virtue of the blood of Christ, and by virtue of his work on the cross and his resurrection, I can have fellowship with God. There's nothing like that. To be able to spend time in the presence of God. You know, Ulster needs revival. Revival not come just by saying the words. You've got to put foot to your prayers. One of the brethren prayed there tonight, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And you see what's wrong with Ulster tonight. The problem lies with us, the church. And may the Lord turn us that we may get a grasp of what it is to spend time in the presence of God. It's not that we might change the heart of God, but that God would change our hearts, that we would be conformed to the image of his Son. Trust the Lord will bless these words to your heart. For Jesus' sake, amen.